Take your Bibles tonight, John chapter 20. If Friday, when Jesus was crucified, was the blackest day in history, and it probably was, then Resurrection Sunday, the Sunday after that, would have been the greatest day in history. It affirmed that resurrection affirmed that Jesus was the Son of God. It marked complete victory over sin, Satan, and death. It assures salvation to everyone that believes. And it's the foundation of the hope that we have that when Jesus comes back, we too are going to be resurrected. The gospel rests on three bedrocks. It rests on the virgin birth of Christ. It rests on his death on Calvary, and it rests on his resurrection. You cannot take one of those away and still have the gospel. So we start tonight, John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. First day of the week, Sunday, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb. Matthew mentions another Mary, and Mark mentions both Marys and Salome. John here only mentions Mary Magdalene, although I'll tell you in a minute why he did. I'll just tell you now. It's probably because of what happens down in verse 11, if we get to that tonight, where Mary sees Jesus and doesn't recognize him. Oftentimes, John left out some stuff that was in the other Gospels because it was there. The ladies came, you know the story, bringing spices to further anoint the body of Christ. Two men had done it. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, when they took him down from the cross. But the ladies wanted to just add some spices to what the men did. And so, again, they came. And again, John just mentions Mary Magdalene. It was still dark. And when she approached the tomb, she saw that the stone was rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. It was a man-made cave, and to seal it, they would roll large stones over the mouth of the cave. In fact, in one of the other Gospels, as the ladies approached the tomb, they were worried about how they were going to move the stone to get in. And there's no mention, if you notice in verse 1, there's no mention of Mary looking into the tomb and seeing that the body of Jesus was gone. When John comes and when Peter comes and the other Gospels say that the other women saw the angels there because they stayed. But there's no mention of Mary looking in the tomb. And so when she saw the stone rolled away, she made the assumption that someone had come and stolen the body of Christ. Verse 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now that was John, the author of this book. Again, he was very reticent to mention his name in the gospel. Of course, the Holy Spirit told him what to write, and so he was just following the Holy Spirit. And so Mary Magdalene came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. The they is not identified. I don't know if Mary thought the Romans had done it or some other group had come and done it. And the we know not where they have laid him, probably refers to the other women that were there with her that morning. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. So when Mary gave this message, again, I think she was making an assumption. She said, somebody's stolen his body. They've robbed the grave. When Peter heard and John heard that, they went running to the tomb. Peter was probably older than John, and so John got there first. And stooping down, verse 5, and he, John, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So he didn't go in, but he stooped down and looked, saw that there was not only no body there, but the linen clothes that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped Jesus in were laying there. Verse 6, then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So when Peter got there, again, he was an impetuous kind of person. And so he didn't stop at all. He didn't stop to look. He just went right in. Probably had to brush past John to get there. And he probably came there panting because, again, he was older and probably out of breath. It would be like me trying to run, and I'd be out of breath by the time I got there. But he went right in, and he looked around. He saw the same thing that John saw from the outside, the linen clothes that Nicodemus and Joseph had wrapped Jesus in. But he also saw the napkin, the thing that was wrapped around Jesus' head, that was lying apart from the other clothes, and it was folded. It was arranged. A Jewish custom was when a master was eating and had to get up from the table before he was done, he would carefully fold the napkin and leave it on the table as a sign to his servant that he was coming back. If he got up and was done, he would just leave the napkin, you know, not folded or anything like that, and just leave it. And so with the napkin folded, Jesus was telling his disciples, hey, I'll be back. I'll be back. They didn't have to wait long to see him. And so when Peter and John saw this, they said, hey, this was not done in haste, like somebody that was robbing the grave would have done. This is not something that's done in haste. And when Peter saw all this, it evidently didn't make much of an impression on him. Okay? I mean, he didn't come to any conclusion. He just looked and saw the linen clothes, the cloth lying there, and the napkin folded in another spot. Verse 8, then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and notice what it said, and believed. He saw and believed. So when Peter ran into the tomb, John got his courage up. He went in, he looked around, he saw the same thing that Peter saw. There's no mention of Peter believing that Jesus was raised from the dead. But when John went in and he saw, this again, the same thing that Peter saw, the Bible says he believed. He believed that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, two Greek words. Let me point them out to you. The word saw used about John is the Greek word eiden, E-I-D-E-N. It's different from the Greek word about Peter when it says that he seeth. That Greek word is thero. Thero means to see with the eyes. So Peter saw with the eyes. Eiden means to see with understanding. They both saw the same thing. But John saw it through eyes of understanding, and he believed. It wasn't a robbery of the grave. It was a bodily resurrection. And John was the first of the 11 apostles to believe the resurrection. And the only one who believed without seeing Jesus alive. The rest of them did not believe until they saw Jesus in the body. Now, John's seeing without believing was referenced in John chapter 20, the same chapter, and we won't get to this verse tonight, verse 29. Let me just read that verse to you. Jesus was talking to Thomas. Remember, Thomas wasn't there the first time that Jesus appeared and said, unless I can put my finger into the holes in his hands and stick my hand into his side where he was stuck with the spear, I'm not going to believe. And then Jesus came the second time and said, okay, John, come on. Put your finger in the hole in my hand, stick your hand into my side. And Thomas said, I don't need to do it anymore, I believe. And Jesus said, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I think Jesus was talking about all future disciples that were not going to see him until they get to heaven. But I think he was also talking about John, who, when he saw what was in the tomb, believed without seeing his resurrected body. Verse 9, John was kind. Holy Spirit had him be kind to Peter when he says, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Jesus had told them over and over again that he was going to rise. And they had heard him, but they did not hear him with ears of understanding. They were not expecting the resurrection. The disciples were not expecting it. Verse 10, "Then the disciples, Peter and John, went away again into their own home." So they were in Jerusalem. They were both from Capernaum, but they had a place to stay in Jerusalem. And after they had visited the tomb, they went back to the places where they were staying. Peter probably went back, "What's all this mean? What does it mean?" You know what I think John did? Jesus had entrusted his mother to John. He had taken her home. I think John went back to Mary and said, "He's risen. He's risen." Just like he said he would. Verse 11. But Mary, so she apparently had followed Peter and John back to the tomb, but Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. So, again, she'd gone back. Again, probably followed Peter and John. Stood outside the tomb, was weeping. And as she was weeping, she stooped down to look into the tomb. In verse 12, "And seeth two angels in white setting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus lay." They weren't there when Peter and John were there, but they had come back. They were there and greeted the other women. Remember, they said to them, "Who are you looking for?" "Well, we're looking for Jesus." Well, he said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Go tell his disciples that he's risen." So I don't know if it was the same two angels or two different ones when Mary Magdalene came back, but they were setting, one at the head and one at the foot of where Jesus laid. In verse 13, "And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Mary was still under the assumption that somebody had taken the body of Jesus and moved it unto an unknown location. She wanted to know where it was. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. And so she was looking inside the tomb. The angels asked, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they've moved the body of my Lord." And when she said that, she turned around and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Now again, she's weeping, she's crying. Maybe, you know, and she showed no fear of the angels like the other ladies did. They were frightened. And maybe it was because of her tears. Even though the Bible says they were dressed in white, maybe through her tears she couldn't discern them as angels and saw them as just two men. Now she saw Jesus, didn't recognize him. Maybe, again, it was because she was weeping so much that she didn't recognize him. And in verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" He asked her the same question that the angels did. She, supposing him to be the gardener, she thought he was the one that took care of the garden, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Again, Mary was hoping that somebody had not robbed the grave. Maybe this man, who she thought was the one that tended to the garden, maybe he had just moved Jesus. And so she said, if you'll tell me where you've laid him, I'll go get him. I will bury him again. I will give him a permanent burying place. Verse 16, "Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master." She was weeping. She was searching for the body of Christ out of her love for him. And so when Jesus spoke her name, I think he said it very tenderly. When he said, Mary, she recognized his voice. When she had, when she said, Sir, if you've moved him, tell me where and I'll go get him. She had turned away from him, turned away from the from who she thought was the gardener. But when she heard Jesus speak her name, she turned back around and said, Rabboni, my teacher, my master. In fact, John interprets it for his Greek readers, which is to say, master. Now, apparently when she turned around, she fell at Jesus' feet and grabbed his feet, hung on to his feet. And in verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Later on in the upper room, Jesus would invite Thomas, say, Hey, come and touch me. I'm flesh. Put your fingers in my wounds. Put your hand in my wounds. But here he says to Mary, don't touch me. And I don't think he made an ascension in between when he met Mary and when he was with the disciples in the other room. I think what Jesus was saying to her was, don't cling to me. I want you to go back and tell my brethren that I'm alive. I'm going to ascend to my Father and to your Father, and I'm going to ascend to my God and your God, but don't keep hanging on to me. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to go declare that I'm alive. Now, Jesus, before he did go back to heaven, told his disciples on a couple different occasions, that's your job. That's your commission. You need to go to the world and tell them about a Savior who died for their sins, but a Savior who came up out of the tomb, defeating sin, defeating Satan, defeating death. And so the lesson to all of us is, don't linger about the shrine of the resurrection. Go declare it to the world. Go tell the world that we serve a living Savior, a resurrected Savior. And when he said, I'm going to ascend to my Father and your Father, I'm going to ascend to my God and your God, what he was saying is, through my death and resurrection, he is now your Father. Through my death and resurrection, he is now your God. In verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. She went back to the disciples. I've seen him. Now, he'd already appeared to Peter by the time that had happened, and he was going to appear to them in the upper room. But she went back and said, I've seen him. This is what he told me. Notice, as you read the Gospels, no unbeliever saw Jesus after the resurrection. Stop and think about it. No unbeliever saw Jesus after the resurrection. Likewise, no unbeliever, except the soldiers that guarded the tomb, had any firsthand information, had any personal information, had any personal experience information about the empty tomb. They didn't. And none of his enemies ever went to the empty tomb, at least it's not recorded in the Bible. None of his enemies ever went to the empty tomb because they didn't want to find it empty. And none of his disciples, according to the Bible, went back after this because they knew they would find it empty. Amen. 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 All right, we're going to quit there tonight. Thank you for being here tonight.